Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Baseless Speculation, the pop culture news on the research so you don't have to. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm Joel. Why are we so low energy, boys? We've got a mystery to solve.
That's better. Too far in the
Yeah.
Now, boys, who do we think the murderer is in Wake Up Dead Man, a Knives Out mystery?
Okay, three of the beautiful cinema's greatest detectives. Mm-hmm.
Greatest minds.
Mm. People are saying many such cases.
Clever.
Exactly.
Clever boys.
Uh-huh. Poirot types. Yeah. People have described this as, okay?
I would say Benoit Blanc types.
Exactly. On the case, to get to the bottom of the mystery.
Exactly. First off, what the mystery?
Who killed Josh Brolin's character, whose name is Childusha, please?
Monsignor Jefferson Wicks.
Okay. Who killed Jefferson Wicks?
A charismatic firebrand priest. Yeah. Before we get to that, just in case you've clicked on this episode and you're like, I don't know what movies are.
I don't know what's going on.
So we're going to start at the start. What is a movie? Just kidding.
Easy question.
Wake Up Dead Man, A Knives Out Mystery is the third entry in the Knives Out trilogy. At time of recording.
Yeah, probably
a fourth one.
Probably.
I guess Knives Out franchise.
Yeah, exactly. Saga. It's coming out later this year, and the Knives Out movies, they center around Benoit Blanc, as played by Daniel Craig. He's an eccentric crime solver.
Yes, he's got a funny voice.
A private detective, some would say. Not me, though. I'd say crime solver.
Yeah, exactly.
Joel Dusha's crime solvers.
crime solver for hire.
Yeah. Are you a detective? Not technically.
Well, it depends. Is there a license you need? Because if so... No.
Yes. Mm. I'm waiting. I'm waiting on my detective license. Till then, I'm just a crime solver.
Yeah. I go into crime scenes and I go,
Did you call him a crime scene? Interesting crime scene you have here. Do you mean crime scene? No. It is a seam of crime, like you might find a seam of gold in a mine.
So, you plebs call it a crime scene. I call it a crime scene because there are seams here. They're cracking at the seams for clues.
Then you take two steps forward and you're standing in the dead body, leaning down to look at a bullet casing or whatever.
The floor's squishy.
I'll write that down in my notebook. Stamp a banana out of your box.
Does anyone have a pen? No, here's one on the ground.
Okay, it's time to write down these notes.
Interesting.
I don't think this guy's going to solve the crime. We should have got a real detective.
It was that guy.
Based on what? Don't ask questions. Just take him away.
Open fire!
Open fire! Then you pull out a gun.
Another crime scene solved.
It's the greatest crime solver generation ever seen.
It's beautiful, dude.
Okay, so famous crime solver, Benoit Blanc.
So the mystery of this movie is that there is a small town, a small insular parish.
Okay.
Led by Monsignor. Jefferson Wicks, as played by Josh Brolin, who famously said that making this movie was so intense that it felt like an orgy. And Mila Kunis, who's in this movie, said, "Oh my God, what?" And he went, "Ha ha. Cool, normal guy stuff."
What does he mean by that?
Well, the cast also didn't know. Glenn Close, he interrupted Glenn Close giving a passionate speech about how she was really blessed to be in this movie to be like, "Yeah, it was like an orgy."
Was he just thinking about orgies at the time?
You know, is it like, I don't know if this is true or not, but like, I guess a Hollywood rumor or this happened, I don't know. But is it orgies are real?
But
in filming Eyes Wide Shut, it was like Harvey Keitel was meant to be in it, maybe. Yeah. And it was in the orgy scene, but he jerked off and then came on someone.
Oh my God. Classic
and
Harvey Keitel.
And that's why he got fired from that film.
Knowing that Stanley Kubrick was a director makes me feel like that's probably a myth, because I wouldn't imagine that would be too far for Stanley Kubrick, because a real thing that happened on that is he famously wrecked a real life marriage.
Yes.
Which was better for Nicole Kidman in the long run.
But yeah,
she would
point.
Never have met Al Keith.
Yeah.
Yes. Al Nicole and Al Keith.
Keith, wow. Yeah. Australia's own.
Australia's own very Keith own. Urban.
Australia's very own Keith Cole. That's how we should combine their names.
Keith
that's
Cole.
A good one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, the couple named Keith Cole.
Yeah. My favorite celebrity couple, Keith Cole.
Keithman.
Keithman's good. I wish my surname was Keithman. Mm. Jackson Keithman. Mm. I don't anymore.
Anyway, after a sermon, Wicks goes, he's like, hey.
Yeah.
Peace out. Goes into a room.
Mm-hmm.
30 seconds later, he's found dead with a blade in his back with no obvious way for someone to have killed him.
Okay.
It's a classic locked room mystery.
Yeah. Yeah, but usually it's an interesting one because there was only one man in the locked room, as far as we can tell.
Exactly.
There is a new reverend in town, Reverend Judd Duplet. It's not duplicity, but it's Duplessis. Duplencity?
Duplencity?
Yeah.
Duplencity?
they're just making up names.
Making up shit.
Well, I guess that is names. What is names if not made up?
Yeah, that is
everything
true.
Is yeah. made up at this
It's also
point.
Judd with one D, which also
oh,
feels
that's
wrong.
Fucked oh, up,
great.
Dude. That's...
Judd? No, that's good.
How many?
My name's Judd.
Judd.
Anyway.
How many D's does Judd Nelson Judd? Have?
He's played by Josh O'Connor, but what?
Two.
How many? Okay. I have my mystery solved. Carry on.
Whoa, we're solving so many mysteries.
Yeah, we're crime solvers.
Yeah, so Reverend Judd,
mm-hmm. yeah.
to avoid his last name, he's now Reverend Judd.
She's called Reverend Judd.
Reverend Judd is a down on his luck young priest who has just been assigned to this small town.
Okay.
So everyone's just like, hey, you're clashing with the Monsignor. Monsignor.
Yeah. Josh Brolin.
You can just say Josh Brolin, brother.
You're clashing with Jefferson Wicks. Yeah. So I reckon you did it. And he's like, I didn't do it.
Okay.
I'm going to call him Benoit Blanc.
Ah. Yeah.
And as the trailer suggests.
Yeah.
It could have been anyone at the parish.
Yeah.
Everyone hated this Monsignor.
Well, Monsignor.
Josh Brolin.
Monsignor. I'm just going to get
like,
practice.
You're going to do it? Yeah. Just practice makes perfect.
Monsignor Wicks.
Yeah.
He's like a hot headed, everyone's going to hell type
okay.
of guy.
Okay.
As we see in the trailer as well, he's screaming.
He's yelling at the parish, dude.
So Benoit Blanc comes in and he goes, this is very interesting because this murder, I say, has been framed as a miracle.
a miracle?
Does he say that, dude?
Well, this murder, I say,
has been framed as a miracle.
Perky Pig, famous
for their beautiful breasts.
Yeah, it is a combination, I guess, of Foghorn Leghorn and Perky Pig.
Perky Pig, yeah, absolutely, dude.
So the cast, and I've written down all the actors who they're playing, and like just like a little bio.
Yeah.
Well, not a bio. I would say four words.
Four words to help us get into that crime solving
mentality.
Kind of
like the Cluedo method, where it'd be like John Thompson.
Yeah.
Cunt.
I think we got a weird Cluedo.
I'm now Joel Duchamp's crime solver. Is that your sort of technique? You come in and you go, to solve this crime scene, I will use the Cluedo method. Now tell me, was the deceased a cunt?
Cunt, an asshole, or a fuckwit?
I don't know, man. Elementary.
My dear Wolfsome.
He's got some like mutt dog.
We got hit by a car on the way here.
Take him to a vet. No, your crime scene is more important
than both my sick dog and my head injury.
He starts lapping up the corpse blood. Good boy. He's getting
clues. Collect the evidence. Smart.
He'll spit it into a bag later.
Okay, yeah, let's get this.
So, Benoit Blanc, obviously Daniel Craig, as we know, he's a crime solver, or as I've written here, private detective.
Okay. It's another name for it.
Probably not involved.
The murderer, yeah.
Considering he's not in the town when it happens. Yeah. But hey,
could you never know.
Yeah,
long shot.
Yeah. We got Josh O'Connor. He's Reverend Judd.
Okay.
Okay.
Duplessity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Duplessity.
See, like, because he's the one that calls him in.
Yeah.
Potential, like, because maybe he's what he's calling him because he thinks he's too clever.
Yeah, exactly.
That what exactly happened the first film where Captain America was the one to call in Benoit because he thought he was too clever for all this.
Exactly.
So, but I don't know if they'll ever do, like, I just feel like they won't do that.
Seems unlikely.
Seems unlikely.
Well, yeah, because the first one, the murder was a suicide.
Yeah.
Second one,
It was
the obvious bad guy, and the twist was that he's an idiot, everyone was overthinking.
Yeah,
he's an idiot, and there was twins.
Yeah.
Yes.
Twins, Basil.
I've also just realized that I've written down Judd's last name spelt differently twice. Mm. Don't know which is the real one. That's a mystery for me to solve.
Yeah.
Anyway. So he's a young priest new in town.
Yep, okay.
Seems, based on the trailer, to disagree with the methods of the deceased.
Yeah, and also he's got he's cussing.
He
and
says,
stuff.
Holy shit.
Shit. Oh, sorry. I'm a priest. Interesting.
Then we've got Glenn Close as Martha DeCroix.
Okay.
She is a devout church lady and Wicks's right-hand woman.
Okay.
She's my, look, honestly, when I watched that trailer, I just saw Glenn Close's face and I'm like, yep.
She's the murderer.
She's the murderer.
Yeah.
That's my number one suspect.
Okay.
We got Mila Kunis as Geraldine Scott, who is a local police chief.
Okay.
Jeremy Renner as Dr. Nat Sharp,
Great name.
Town doctor.
Great name. Mm-hmm. Nat Sharp. Love it.
Kerry Washington as Vera Draven, tightly wound lawyer.
Okay.
Andrew Scott as Lee Ross. He's a best-selling author.
Okay.
All right. It often plays a villain.
Yes, he does. That's true.
We've got Kaylee Spadey. Cannot be how you say it.
You can say Spadey.
Spade?
Spadey.
Kaylee Spadey?
Could be.
Kaylee Spadey. I was right the first
time. Spadey? Yeah, that is absurd.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
She is Simone.
Mm-hmm.
Vivain?
Yeah.
A disabled former concert cellist.
Okay. Is it cellist or cellist? Cellist.
What's she selling?
It's got to be cellist, right?
Playing the cello?
Yeah, you play the cello, you're a cellist.
Yeah.
But the more I say cellist, the more fucked up it feels.
Like, oh, yeah, now just say cello.
Cello.
Yeah, that sounds wrong.
Makes me think of crunchy jelly.
Yeah. Or like
Daryl,
maybe someone for 21 Jump
Street. Daryl McCormick.
Cello.
Yeah.
My name Jeff. Cello. My name Jeff.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now I'm back on board.
Cello. My name is Jeff. Yeah, that's really
very
good.
Nice. My name Jeff.
The greatest crime solvers the world's ever seen, dude.
Daryl McCormack.
Yeah.
As Cy Draven, an aspiring politician.
Did you say Cy Draven?
Yeah.
Cy Draven.
I love the name Cy. S-Y. Is that unspelled?
C-Y.
I hate that name.
And then we've got Thomas Haddon Church as Samson Holt.
You say okay. Haddon?
Haddon.
Hayden.
Everyone's okay.
Haddon?
Hayden? I don't know, dude. Hayden. How's it spelled?
Thomas Haddon Church.
Yeah.
Thomas Haddon Church.
Okay.
It's Hayden then, without a Y.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, then there'd be Hayden.
Mm. Yeah. Samson Holt, a circumspect groundskeeper.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now.
Yeah.
Interesting names.
In the trailer, everyone seems to be on blast from Benoit Blanc.
Yeah,
sure it does.
They're all in trouble.
And what we know about the movies, it's not going to be as simple as, oh, it was Glenn Close whom did it.
Yeah.
It's more likely to be God, but it won't be God.
Yeah.
Because the movies, whilst being bonkers, are usually grounded in a sense.
There's no magic in the Knives Out trilogy.
Yeah, it could be like it was actually Josh Brolin himself that, like, you know, was trying to do this to be like, see, you're all going to hell.
Martyred himself, but we've already had a suicide.
Yeah. What if he placed down a knife
and threw himself on it?
To catch a rat or something. And then he fell on the knife.
Theory one.
Yeah.
Josh Brolin is the murderer. Tried to kill a rat, fell on the knife.
He put the knife down on the ground, blade up.
Yeah.
Then he slipped on an unseen banana peel.
A second rat?
Yeah. A second rat.
Benoit will find a rat with a footprint in it. And he'll say, this intrigues me beyond something's amiss. And he fell backward onto the knife.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they find him face down, which I'm not sure, that's because
he rolled over.
He got up being like, trying to get the knife in his back, then fell on his face.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe when they do the autopsy, they find a rat inside him because he fell on the rat and it went in his mouth. What do we think, detectives?
A long shot. But if the clues are there, well, you know, Occam's razor and all of that.
Exactly. What does Sherlock Holmes say? When all things that are impossible are removed, all that's left has to be right.
Is it possible?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know.
Do you want to hear what Benoit Blanc has to say about the murder?
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. Yeah.
He says, a man gives a sermon and then in plain a man gives a sermon and then in plain sight of everyone walks into a sealed concrete block box. 30 seconds later, a man is lying dead. Editor's note, knife in back.
Yeah.
A classic impossible crime.
That's a great voice.
I really love this guy.
I really like it. A classic impossible crime.
It sounds like, you know, it's like Orson Welles in his last, like, years of life.
Yeah.
With a massive cigar.
Absolutely.
I'm Megatron. My greatest role ever was Megatron. I did it for the pussy. When you voice a transforming robot, you're drowning in slits.
Orson, I'm sorry. I know you don't like to take notes, but you're playing Unicron.
I've never played a damn unicorn in my life, and I'm not about to start now. Horses aren't people.
Horses.
Could a person play a horse?
Y'all forget.
When I'm a person.
Here's
a horse.
The thing about horses.
I may be getting old in life, but a man is not a horse.
Just the producers. Guys, is Orson Welles really that big a pool? I mean, we're advertising to children. Do children know who
care about Orson Welles?
I don't know.
Not Citizen Kane.
Yeah, they want a single.
I meant to call it Rosebud, but that's the name of the sled. Yeah. Oh, I've wrecked my own movie.
Yeah.
It gets. Perhaps you've cast me as a horse because you think my name is Horson Wells. Is that the mistake you have made? Well, you are mistaken.
I will call my agent on the telephone.
Thing happened again. You have to stop getting me roles where I play a horse.
It's a planet.
A planet? No man is an island nor a planet.
Orson Welles, we've got some good philosophy going on. I like it.
Yeah, me too. He's a thinker.
Yeah,
Okay, well, a classic way to solve a locked room mystery is...
To unlock the room and get in.
Yeah. Mm. But I was going to say is a classic solution is a contortionist.
Yeah.
Where it's like, the hole, the person, you know, we think it's impossible to enter the room.
Yeah.
But actually a contortionist
can
get in.
Exactly, because like, he opens the door, then he closes the door, and oh no, it's either like a very small contortionist. He's like... They're holding up against the edge of the doors or
exactly.
Whatever. It closes, they stab in the back, it opens. They're like, oh no, who could it
How
be?
How could it have happened?
They don't look behind the door.
Yeah, that's classic. Or they don't look up.
They don't look up, like classic Spider-Man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Spider-Man theory.
Number
two. Spider-Man did it. Okay.
Would be a real change for the Knives Out franchise.
Rian Johnson... this is a Disney movie.
Yeah, okay.
Spider-Man isn't Disney.
And Netflix also isn't Disney. Rian Johnson worked for Disney, made The Last Jedi. Maybe it was a under-the-table deal to get Spider-Man as well.
Yeah, that's true.
He's not owned by Disney, but actually... Fox.
Actually, you'll find that
one more thing. Spider-Man, you'll find.
Now remind me, Spider-Man, who owns him again?
I think you'll actually find it was never Fox. That is X-Men.
You know, my wife, she loves the X-Men series.
That's a Fox property.
That's a Fox.
X-Men claims that that Spider-Man is not owned by Sony, but then you'll find out that the deal is a simple lease situation, and the character is still owned by Marvel Comics.
I love this. I mean, like, I know Ben Wise got a sort of foghorn leghorn to it, but you really emphasize that bit. Yeah. It's really good.
Big
Well, okay. Are any of the characters contortionists?
Well, I was going to say, like, Adam Scott.
Yeah.
He's a wee man.
Yes, that's true.
Adam Scott.
Not Adam Scott. Andrew Scott. Sorry. Andrew. I apologize. My mistake.
Yeah. I was like, I mean, Severance. He could have done it.
Could be his innie did it.
Yeah.
Innie definitely did
it. Yeah. Andrew Scott.
Audi would have done it. Yeah.
Innie couldn't do it because he's too young. I mean, like, couldn't be, like, you know, well, he's so young as an innie because he's only like a couple months old.
Oh, that's true. You can't send a baby to jail. Yeah, that's
also, the innie can't leave the building.
Yeah.
Well, sort of.
Yeah.
Anyway, Andrew Scott.
Yeah.
He's a little guy.
Yeah.
He could easily have been, like, you know, hidden in behind that door.
Yeah.
However, he is seen in the pews.
That's true.
In little, like, gestures.
Well, that's the thing. Here's the thing, and the trailer could be cut in a mysterious way, but I believe that all of the thing that brings these characters together is that all of them are part of the church, and therefore would
so be... So everybody was in the sermon.
Yeah.
And then Josh Brolin, Senior, Monsignor...
Mm. He goes, eat shit, you're all going to hell.
Not me, I'm going to heaven.
Yeah. Fuck you, I'm off to heaven right now.
Steps into a concrete sealed room.
Yeah.
Then they go, bro, where's the priest?
Yeah.
Let's go look. Fell on a knife. Yeah. Or has a knife in his back.
Either tried to kill a... Two theories. Tried to kill a rat.
Yeah.
Spider-Man killed
him. Could it be a contraption of sorts?
Yeah.
A booby trap.
Okay.
Where he opens the door and then the knife swing into his back.
I feel like Benoit, you know, he is a good crime solver. The first thing he'd do is check for contraptions.
Well, yeah, but we don't know that.
That's true.
And because now the question would be, well, who set up the contraption?
Yeah, and who cleaned it up after the murder?
You got to remember that in both Knives Out and Glass Onion, he solves the murder way before it's revealed in the movie.
That's true. Mm. Good point.
He probably has already figured it out the moment he steps in.
Yeah.
Because that...
Now...
I think he...
Yeah.
My memory of Glass Onion is a little more hazy because I've only seen it the one time.
Yeah.
But I believe that in Knives Out, he solved the case within, like, moments, but then he kind of follows Ana de Armas' character to figure out why this happened.
Rather than,
like, he's like, I know who did it.
But why?
Yeah.
What? And, like, the audience know who does it as well because the flashback is very, very early. Surprisingly. Like, okay. So it's less about who done it and a why done it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then in Glass Onion... It's the very obvious person who did it, and Benoit Blanc's character seems to be more like, it can't, like, that.
Yeah.
There has to be more to this, because and then it turns out that he just gets really angry. And in the best scene of the movie, he's just like, fuck you, you dumb, rich piece of shit.
You think
you're clever, but you're actually so stupid it goes full circle.
Yeah.
I hate you.
Because I think it's like, because he's playing like Among Us or whatever at the start with like a bunch of other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because he just doesn't get it. And because, he's missing all the obvious
things.
So I guess he's probably, hopefully, like, learnt from that.
He's playing Among Us in the bath.
Yeah, that's right.
With
Natasha Lyonne.
With Poker Face's own and...
some director.
But she's not playing her Poker Face character, is she?
No, she's playing Natasha Lyonne.
That's weird.
Self. I was thinking again.
Yeah.
Going by because whose name is the Sharp? Jeremy Renner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
His last name is Sharp.
Like a knife.
And a knife. Also, what doctors. Is a knife? Sharp doctor.
Doctor.
What a doctor work with often? Sometimes a knife, i.e. scalpel.
I would say that doctors actually don't work with knives that often now they've thought about
surgeons
it.
Surgeons work with knives,
when they become surgeon, they drop the doctor and they become a mister.
That's true. But
really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
What the fuck?
I know, it's crazy.
Damn, I respect doctors, but I should respect misters. And missuses!
Thank you, ally.
Mm.
I think...
Because when my son gets operated on by a woman and I say, but doctor, that's my wife, I understand.
Yeah.
We know famous riddle.
Yeah. Oh, this is like the riddle.
The doctor's my wife.
The doctor's my wife. Yes.
Yes. Mothers can be mothers. Yes.
Yes.
And my wife can be so hot.
Oh, yeah. The most beautiful wife and surgeon in the world. But maybe if Jeremy Renner is a local doctor, he has to do both.
That's true.
He's the town doctor.
Well, so if you're a small town doctor, you often have to do like basically everything.
Absolutely.
That's just like your small town doctor. So well, the hospital's like, 6 hours
away.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, time to perform this tracheotomy or whatever.
Exactly. Chop off your ears or whatever. Yeah.
So, because
is it getting in the way?
Yeah, it's like it streamlines the process.
Yeah.
So,
like a seal.
Yeah.
In classic, like, let's kill a priest situation, there's usually two motives. One, fuck the church.
Yeah.
Two, fuck this priest for not loving the church.
Yeah, okay.
Or three, fucked my wife.
Yes.
Or in Angels and Demons, they kill the Pope. I'm pretty sure.
Because Mary Magdalene had sex with Jesus Christ.
No. I think
that's the Da Vinci Code.
Yeah. This was, I think it is.
It's crazy.
The Pope is the father of Ewan McGregor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And a nun is the mother. Maybe due to IVF or something.
Okay.
I don't know. I haven't watched it. I half watched it. And then my beautiful wife explained it to me and I half listened.
Yeah, that's good. But together, that's a whole.
That's a whole watch. So it could be an illegitimate, like, you know, child.
So sometimes when movies like this do, illegitimate child, that's a classic. If I don't think they're going to go, because even though it's a murder mystery, they're probably not going to go into the problems of the church.
Yeah.
All right, so he's not a diddler.
Yeah, no diddling. Because
that's the Calvary murder mystery.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone's seen that movie.
No.
I didn't spoil it by telling you that. But
Doubt?
This is a priest.
Changeling?
Killed in Doubt?
It's a Doubt because it's Glenn Close is in that film.
What movie has the fake trailer for a priest movie at the start? And like Elijah Wood or something is the priest.
Are you thinking of...
Tropic Thunder, where they do Brokeback Mountain, but it's monks. Monkback Mountain.
I think I might be thinking of that.
This is a Philip Seymour Hoffman and
Doubt as well.
And that's the one where
is that
it's
also
like,
Glenn Close?
I think that's Glenn.
Yeah, I think it is.
And like
my little machine's on fire.
He's got like a lot of suspicion that you know he diddled some kids.
Yeah.
Meryl Streep, not Glenn Close. And Philly Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah. Sorry, Meryl Streep. And she's like, you know, she just has doubt. He's like, I didn't. But then you're like, oh, you don't know, did he?
Did he?
And then he gets moved again. Where's he going?
Which parish?
Yours? Yeah. Maybe?
He could be coming.
We don't know. Ooh.
Ooh, spooky.
Yeah, don't send your kids to church.
God, no.
Anyway.
I feel like the Knives Out trilogy, though,
not going to do that.
I don't think they're going to address diddling.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Not quite the right tone.
Also, they've done a thing where it's like, here's a religion, and based on the trailer, I don't think it's going to be like a real one.
It feels very like a crazy evangelical, fire, brimstone, you're going to hell. It does seem sort of Christian.
Yeah.
And so they're playing it safe
by doing the it's like Christian coded, but it's not actually Catholic or anything. Yeah. Leave us alone, the church.
It's like one of them Christian ones where they get snakes and they bite you or whatever.
Snake handling's a fucking awesome religion, dude. If I had to be religious, I'd go snake handling.
Dude, you do right now.
I have to be religious.
Atheism's banned now. You got to pick one.
We are snake handling, dude.
Because snake handling
is the best one.
Well, it's like it doesn't work. It's like a gamble every time.
Yeah, and then maybe you get immune to snakes after a while.
Well, after a while. I've got to survive a lot of bites before I become immune to snakes.
Why would you kill a priest who is very fire and brimstone? Either one. He's a hypocrite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, the hypocrisy, whatever he's saying, like, you're all sinners, except for me, I'm going to heaven, I'm God's special boy. And you're like, no, you're not.
Yeah, maybe he's done something.
So maybe he's done something. Or it's like, you know, has there been something else in the more recent past?
Yeah.
Where, like, you know, say there's something has happened, maybe someone's family has died.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, your family are going straight to hell. And they're like, I take umbrage with that.
True.
And I'm going to send you to hell.
Yeah.
Why else would you want to kill a priest? Fun?
Fun. Seems like a laugh.
You hate the town to stir up a mystery? Yeah. You know what? Mm-hmm. Could be, maybe the hint is in the title.
Yeah.
But like maybe killing the priest, maybe there's like a bigger thing happening in the town. Think Hot Fuzz.
Yeah. Well, a crucial bit of the trailer that we have been ignoring, Theory 4, maybe, is the diamond.
Oh yeah, we've ignored the
diamond. There's a shot of a diamond in the trailer. So what about
in
this?
The rough, you
Theory
say.
For the conspiracy.
Yeah.
Somehow there's a diamond that there's a bunch of people that are, maybe it's like a Tontine situation, right? Where it's like whoever was remaining gets the diamond, but the priest is in the way of getting the diamond.
Yeah.
So if
we're all getting old.
If we kill the priest first, then he's no longer going to get the diamond. It's going to go to the town or something. Or maybe, I don't know, the diamond belongs to the church. Like, they've found the diamond in the town and somehow it's going to the church before anyone else. But they go, if we kill him, the diamond goes to the rest of us. This is falling apart in my hand.
Here,
the diamond's crucial!
I reckon.
Yeah.
Mila Kunis kills him. So, Geraldine Scott, the local police chief. And I think it's because there is a way bigger thing that's happening in the town. It's like so corrupt, or like she's lost, like there's no justice in the town because it's ruled with an iron fist by this priest.
Someone did something and they got off because they're the Monsignor's special little guy.
Yeah, okay. And I think Wake Up Dead Man is like, oh, we've got to, like, obviously they're not actually bringing him back from the dead, but it's like, we've got to wake up, like, dig up the past of this dead man to reveal the true pieces.
Maybe it's like,
and that also fits in with the Knives Out thing of like Benoit Blanc will be rolling and be like, she did it, but why?
Yeah. Maybe.
Sorry. But why?
Maybe it's like everyone in town is a piece of shit and has done a separate crime, and this priest is so incensed by their unchristianness and their hypocrisy that he kills himself so that Benoit gets brought in so that he can investigate everyone now, in town.
However, the young priest is the one that brings in Benoit, not the old priest.
Well, maybe
the old priest is dead.
Knife in the back.
Wake up dead man, call Benoit Blanc, die again.
But with the title Wake Up Dead Man, I wonder if the priest that died, we're going to hear from him somehow beyond the grave, not in necessarily a supernatural way, but like he's set up something that he's still feeding clues to Ben.
Like, when I die, this will be released.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Glass Onion and Knives Out, whilst loose, do actually fit the themes of the movie, but they are also song titles.
Yeah.
Knives Out's a Radiohead song.
Glass
Onion's a Beatles song. Wake Up Dead Man. Oh, that's from four beautiful boys in Ireland, U2.
Nice.
Who recently have said some things that make them huge pieces of shit.
Yes.
So Radiohead. In fact, we're 2 from 3 for Zionist bands.
Wow. Awesome. The Beatles weighed in yet?
let me tell you, I think we're all lucky to be living in a world where John Lennon's dead, because he would say some crazy things. I think
that every day when I wake up. Thank God John Lennon's
dead.
Yeah,
we should free Paul David Chapman. That's not his name. Mark David Chapman.
No. He's also David. A piece of shit.
Yeah,
you can have two pieces of
shit. Oh, absolutely.
Maybe
dude.
That's what Wake Up Dead Man's going to be about.
Yeah.
Everyone's a piece. Well, that's classic Knives Out. Everyone's a piece of shit.
I think everyone will be a piece of shit.
You could do
looks like a piece of shit.
Yeah, you could do the whole. I love the murder on the Orient Express. We all took a turn.
Yeah, exactly. We all kind of
stabbed him. So you can't arrest a town for the murder, can you?
And then Poirot goes, I can't. I guess
Poirot. But when he realizes everyone did it, he gets really scared. I have solved the mystery. Oh fuck!
It is one of those unsolvable mysteries.
This is one of those things that just happened.
A dog did it.
We found him like this. A dog probably did it and no ran fear. Out the train.
Put away your guns and knives. Yeah. A dog did the crime. And he would be hanged in Washington
when the Orient Express stops at Washington, D.C., we will hang the dog.
Which says, Sacre Bleu escaped the train.
Have you seen this dog, sir? Because I have not. crafty dog. I'll go find it.
And I guess we shall all forget about this.
There was no murder.
Nobody no cry.
Nobody no cry. Just like opens the carriage door as a car. Yeah, anyway, yeah, goodbye.
It's time for me to
all
leave.
Olive Oil, Johnny Depp.
That would make a great name for a movie.
Olive Oil, Johnny Depp. Well, yeah, because Agatha, these Knives Out movies are obviously, they're like a modern take on Agatha Christie stuff. I always found it weird because Murder on the Orient Express is a weird place to start with that movie trilogy because it has like a big famous ending of everyone had a stab. And then, what, Death on the Nile?
I don't know that. I never watched Death on the Nile.
I'm pretty sure it's just one guy did it.
Yeah.
Gal Gadot, maybe? Or is she the one who gets killed? No, she's the one who gets killed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, it seemed bad.
And then came down like a like daytime
Ghosts
phone.
In Venice
or
Jones whatever.
In the
There's a third one?
Yeah, but it's like...
Bullshit.
Apparently the third one's not bad, is what I've heard. That it's like... That those movies basically exist because Kenneth Branagh is like, yeah, I love being Poirot, so I'll just keep doing it for whatever reason.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it gives an origin story to his mustache.
Yeah, that's right.
Because he's being slashed in the face.
Yeah, I have seen that.
Yeah, and I think that one part of the solution is that ghosts are maybe real.
A haunting in Venice.
A haunting in Venice.
Ghosts are real.
Yeah.
Branagh directed the Artemis Fowl movie.
Wow, that's a lot to think about.
That's a very deeply, deeply upsetting movie.
In the Artemis Fowl books, one of the characters is a dwarf who eats dirt and shits it out.
That happens in the movie.
Wow.
Deeply, if you ate dirt, you'd shit it out. But what do you mean?
Like a worm.
You're talking about...
You would also shit out. Yeah, like, but whatever you eat.
But if I ate dirt, one, I'd get sick.
Okay? Probably, yeah. But you'd
and
also
two,
shit it out. Yeah.
I would shit it out like a day later, maybe. But he eats dirt and then shits it out basically immediately.
Is his name Mulch Diggums?
Yeah, Mulch Diggums. Yeah, exactly.
He's played by... Yeah. If I remember correctly, he's played by Josh Gad in... The Artemis Fowl movie.
Damn.
And it's so upsetting because he does unhinge his jaw. Yeah.
Jesus
Christ.
They
changed everything
dude.
About Artemis Fowl, but not that part for some
That's
reason.
That's crazy.
Why would you? It's written
yeah,
it's
Artemis,
like beautifully.
The book.
And it's so poetic.
Artemis Fowl in the book, he's a piece of shit.
Yeah, he's like
kid.
A wretched little psychopath from memory.
Yeah, but then at the end, he's like, we'll work together. I'm still a piece of shit kid, but... We've got a joint goal.
I got to help the fairy
and
realm
then
or whatever.
Throughout the books, he becomes he redeems himself and really he stops being a psychopath.
Yeah,
he learns empathy. But in this movie, they're just like he's a little kid and he's just smart.
Yeah,
Mulch Diggums eats dirt. It's bad to look at.
Shits it right out his asshole.
Wow.
That's impressive. Okay. So
well,
you're
maybe
thinking it's like a town. Like,
well,
you know.
I wonder if for some reason because it could also
cult?
Be.
Reveal a cult?
Could
this is already culty, but like, what if it's like a bad cult, like a murder cult?
What's the diamond got to do with it?
Cults love diamonds. Are you
me? You're right, dude. Cults love diamonds. Maybe because I get the feeling that Josh Brolin's character is in the way of everyone else getting the diamond. I don't know how. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's some bit of this where...
But how, in a town where everyone wants the diamond, is killing one man going to give you one other person a diamond?
Because it could just be like a... Yeah, maybe
an heir? An heir to the diamond?
Okay, how about this? Back to my Glenn Close theory, based on absolutely nothing.
Her vibes alone.
Her vibes alone.
She is Wix's right-hand woman.
Exactly. Yeah, okay.
So... He has it like so. The Monsignor has the diamond.
Yeah.
The diamond belongs to the church.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And that's what, like, you know, is. But, like, you know, it's a kind of bit of a secret. No one really knows about the diamond. Maybe there's some rumors about the diamond.
Yeah.
But there is definitely a diamond that, you know, Monsignor has. Maybe it's like a prominent part of their religion.
Okay.
Maybe it's part of the iconography, whatever the fuck, right?
Mm.
And so it's like, yeah, it's there. Glenn Close. She know all about that diamond. She kind of wants that diamond.
Yeah.
New cunt's coming in.
Ah.
And if a new cunt comes in, he's going to find about that diamond and then he's going to keep it in the church. So she got to act quick because if he comes in and needs the understudy or whatever, you know, understudy.
Yeah. Priest understudy,
whatever. And he's like, yeah, okay. And then, you know, the Monsignor's going to be like, and this is, you know, this is our precious, special little diamond that, you know, all our mystical God powers and religion comes from this.
Yeah.
You got to protect it with. And he's like, oh, of course I will because, of course, you know, I'm part of this religion.
Yeah.
And that's when Glenn Close has got to be like, I got to do this quickly.
Yeah.
And so then by getting rid of the Monsignor, everyone is now focused too much on this murder so she can pull off the best diamond heist the world's ever seen.
Yeah. She does oversell when they discover the body, because they all discover the body as well. When they discover the body, she's the only one who loses her mind overselling it.
Yeah,
I am watching the trailer again now on mute, and I'm trying to figure out if there's any context to this diamond.
Yeah. Because then I reckon, so maybe there's like... yeah, with him dead, she can act like, you know, get whatever it is. Like, maybe it's like, oh, with when he's there, it's like in his room or, yeah, or whatever it is. Like, he's got a key or something.
Yeah, but if he's dead.
But if he's dead, I can get the key. I can unlock the safe. I can get the diamond.
Yeah.
And I can, like, you know, get out scot-free and live my sweet, sweet life.
Diamond
and
then life.
Revealed, actually, she, that's her fake name, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's maybe she's not even her real name. Then she's just doing the long con.
She's
she wants that goddamn diamond. And she's been like, she went to this town to find this diamond, realized it was the Monsignor's or whatever, wormed her way up to be, you know, the right-hand woman.
Yeah.
And then got, like, you know, almost indoctrinated by it all.
Yeah,
and then
okay. Maybe,
and then you could be like, oh, then something happened where she's either like, wait a second, I'm here for that diamond.
Yeah, that's
or
right.
Or she's like, this is a long con and I want that diamond.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it just, it's taken years to get to this point because she's like, I have been poisoning him.
Yeah.
And he's been bitten by all these snakes.
And he's immune to snakes.
I've been trying to kill him for so long.
Yeah.
And he won't die.
Well,
now I just, you know what? I got a little contraption.
Yeah, I've built a device, an apparatus to stab him in the back. Exactly.
He's
I've
dead.
Given him a trapped coat that will stab him in the back when he walks into the room.
So, and then that's how she gets diamonds. So that's look. This is my little based on vibe alone speculation.
The Glenn Close vibes.
So
theory.
The now, big diamond is in one shot. You can't see who's holding it. You get no context. It's just a close up of the diamond as they rotate it slightly.
Yeah. See.
But in the end of the trailer, I think there might be another, because this is like people stopped kind of doing this because Marvel, the MCU, started lying to us by putting things in trailers and CGI out. But people stopped doing that because it's a waste of money and time.
Yes. Yeah.
In the last scene of the trailer where Reverend Judd is being like, you pieces of shit. And he's holding a note. So he has something.
Yeah.
The whole cast isn't in the room that he's yelling at.
Oh, okay.
Andrew Scott. So we've got, hang on, I'll give their job titles rather than the names. So
that's a good idea.
Or do you want both?
Yeah, no, just the titles. That's all that matters to me.
The author, the celloist.
Yeah.
Cellist?
Cellist.
Yeah.
The doctor.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know how we're in a constant state of chaos and fighting for our lives every single day on this godforsaken earth? Between work and everything else falling apart around me, I have not had it together enough to meal prep or plan dinner, or honestly, function like a normal human being most weeknights. Cooking something good is hard, and I deserve a modicum of joy every now and again. That's why I've turned to Omaha Steaks. My freezer is full. That's sorted. It is genuinely the one part of my life running smoothly. Real steaks, burgers, seafood, chicken, sides, all shipped to my door. So even on the nights where everything else is on fire, dinner isn't one more thing to stress about. I made the burgers the other night, didn't even have the energy to think, just pulled them out, threw them on the grill, and they tasted like something from an actual steakhouse. Somehow, the one corner of my life that's together is the one I didn't even have to think about. If you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the easiest way in. 20 premium steak burgers across 5 cuts. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's right, BEEF. B-E-E-F. omahasteaks.com. Promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
So sorry, hang on. I lost who was in there.
Yeah.
The doctor, the lawyer, the author, the cellist, and the...
Who else in whatever...
And the right, like, and the devout Glenn church Close. Lady, yeah.
Okay.
What about this for theory, okay? Theory number 5...
Or six or seven.
Josh Brolin isn't actually a priest.
Ah,
so
aspiring politician also walks in behind the two people when making the speech. He's also in the room.
So I'm imagining
fake priest.
Fake priest.
He's
theory.
A pirate.
Yeah, no.
Why pirate?
He got long hair
and treasure.
Oh, and gems. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Pirates right. Fucking love gems, dude.
Dude, that's their whole thing.
They can't
thing.
Shut
think
up. About,
oh, actually, they got two pirate. Things: boats. Gems.
Parrots.
Parrots. I was gonna say parrots.
Some fucking hate parrots. Sometimes they got sea dogs.
Yeah.
Or are they sea dogs?
Well, they are salty sea dogs.
They are salty sea dogs. Is a dog on the ocean or like on the boat, or is a sea dog a seal? Because when you say sea dog, I think seal.
I was imagining a salt encrusted dog on a boat.
Yeah, I was thinking they got like a pet seal.
Yeah.
This is our sea dog.
That's not a fucking dog. Yeah.
Being on a boat or being a pirate or whatever actually be so easy provided I don't get seasick. I reckon I could do it.
You could be a pirate?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Well, I think it'd be awesome.
Where would you, what job would you want?
Well, what are you doing on the boat?
dude, whatever. Get me mopping the decks or cleaning the cannons or whatever. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Give me some meaning in life.
Okay. Yeah, I want to be a Sawbones. Yeah, that'd be fun.
That's awesome. Where they come in and they go, "Hey, I've been shot in the leg," and you go, "I'm going to chop off your whole lower half."
Yeah.
From the hips down. Yeah.
Time to remove that leg.
Yeah.
I'm going to remove your torso and show your arms and legs to your head.
Yeah.
Not going to look like a jellyfish.
There's no rules on the ocean. That's what I'm hearing.
I go in with a shot like knee, and then I come out just a leg attached to my head, hopping onto the deck. I'm all fixed, lads. Or just a head on a peg.
I come out just wiping blood on an apron.
Hop.
Yeah. Chewing on your loose arm.
Let me at him. Put me in a cannon. Fire me.
Whoa.
Jackson. Did it again, boys. Did it again.
Well, you wouldn't even be a human cannonball at that point. You'd just be
a
cannonball.
Yeah.
Just be a foot.
Yeah.
Foot him, boys.
Roll my head out. Mm. I survived. Well, I know. What if it's the kind of thing where... there's like, because I guess this is kind of maybe Murder on the Orient Express, he's sort of similar. But in the past, all of these people got together to steal a diamond or something.
Yep. Uh-huh. A heist.
A heist, you might say. But then they were like, we need to lay low.
Mm-hmm.
And now in the present, it's all kind of coming to a head. Mm. And they're like, I'm sick of laying low. It's time for me to get that that diamond that we heisted so long ago or whatever.
Oh, yeah. And like, and so maybe the Monsignor, he's like maybe wrapped up in his own bullshit.
Yeah.
So he's like, look, hey, we all heisted that diamond, but we got it good here.
Yeah.
I rule this town. Why would I give this up?
Yeah, because I just think if I was going to fake being a priest, you go fire and brimstone. Yeah. Oversell it.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe, he's not a priest or like he was a bank robber or something back in the day, stole the diamond, hit it. Everybody in town in his parish was like, wait a second, we've discovered that our priest is not a priest. He's been lying to us all these years.
Yeah, this is very, I guess, like Primal Fear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I guess, the sequel books of this, the Aaron Stampler, who's like played by Edward Norton in Primal Fear.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he's like, you know, he plays like the innocent, but he really is the, you know, the perpetrator. Yeah. And then
Kyle Soze.
Yes, Aaron Stampler. But in the books, so he goes on and he becomes a cult leader and makes a religion and that kind of stuff.
Mm.
So like, you know, maybe
you think this is Primal Fear 2 secretly?
No, but I'm thinking maybe like, you know, that the idea that like someone is like, oh, okay, I've become like, you know, I am in trouble with the law because of all this, like whatever I've done, maybe diamond heisting. Maybe I become a priest.
Yeah.
And then, so all the others are like, you know, the old guard or his crew.
Yeah.
So I don't think a lot of them would.
No, maybe like, that part.
Glenn Close potentially would be part of that crew.
Yeah.
Because like, Jeremy Renner and.
But they could, because if they found out about it and they found out that there's a diamond, that they're like, well, he's not even a priest. We kill him, whatever. But I think that what I like about that theory is that I like that the new priest, he doesn't know this.
Yeah.
And so when the new priest gets the Benoit Blanc here, everyone's like, fuck.
Yeah.
What are you doing, dude?
Now, I think
you're
both falling for a red herring. And I think the diamond means jack shit.
Okay.
I'm putting my knowledge of crime.
Your crime solving?
The crime database knowledge.
Yeah. So I think that the diamond means jack shit.
Yeah, okay.
And I think that now looking at like the roles that people have,
so
it's presumably a married couple. They have either a married couple or siblings.
Yeah.
Either way.
I'm going to guess married couple.
Yeah.
One of them is a lawyer.
Yeah.
A tightly wound lawyer.
Okay.
And the other is an aspiring politician.
Yeah, yeah.
They're in a relationship of some variety,
yeah.
A close one, whether it be familial or marriage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They would run the town, basically. Like,
yeah.
As in, like, a politician and a lawyer?
True.
That's a crazy combo. Police chief. I'm going back to the police. I think the police chief's in on this. Mm-hmm. Police chief is either going to be part of them running the town, or alternatively, he's like, I've lost.
Yeah,
it's like Mila Kunis. She's the police chief, or do you see
Local police chief.
Yeah.
She's the police chief. Okay.
I think she's like, this town, I've lost.
Well, you could have this like, yeah. This,
I'm sick of pretending to fight crime because these two secretly run the town and she orchestrated, and I would say that the head priest is in on that dynamic as well.
Could it be, it's like a power play, right? So you've kind of got like, you know, who is actually in charge. You've got the priest and he's running the town his way.
Yeah.
You then have the politician and the lawyer. They're running it like in a more,
I think it's a trio.
Yeah.
I think they're running it. You got fire and brimstone. You got like the heart of the people, the soul of people. You got them, like they're in charge, right? Yeah. But you got the politician, the lawyer, being like, no, no, no. We're going to use fancy, more modern laws to try and run this town. Mm. And then you've got the police chief who's in the
just
middle.
Like, fuck this town. Yeah. So I think that it's either going to be the politician, and I know this is kind of cheating because I'm presenting two theories, but I think it's. Look, I reckon I've nailed the goal. It's just like, which side of this? It's either going to be politician and lawyer are like, we've lost this town to religion.
Yeah.
And we're modern thinkers and this is going to be the way we run it. And the police chief is in on it.
Yeah.
Or the police chief kills the priest to be like, this guy's a sack of shit and he's the most powerful person in this town. But these two are secretly burying everything in the town, working together with all of these job roles that... Mm-hmm. potentially just work to create this horrible community where it's a lawless town and we just pretend everything's fine.
Yeah.
I murder someone, everyone's like, oh, fuck. Mm. We've lost control.
Yeah, okay.
Bring in external forces and we're going to fucking expose the shit out of this shit.
Yeah, okay.
Lock it in.
Yeah, because I think it could be a similar vibe.
Town's gone to shit, brother.
Yeah.
Like it's that sort
fuck
of...
Fuck this shit town.
It was like in Game of Thrones, how like when Varys says to like, you know, like Ned, the you know, all right, so you've got like the king, the religious man, whatever, like, you know, who's
running the town, like, really, the town.
And it's like, well, whoever you can convince to the person who's halting the spear to stab
someone. Yeah.
So I think that could be the cop is probably like a useful person.
Yeah. Mm.
I don't think they're in on it necessarily, but I think they might be being used by both sides.
Yeah.
Because I think it could be, I think it could be a religion thing versus the politician.
Yeah.
And lawyer.
And I reckon those are your two factions.
Mm. Aspiring politician feels very loaded.
Yes. Aspiring like you'll do anything to get in power.
So I reckon they're the one that's orchestrated it. And to try and like get rid of this, you know, crazy guy who's very much fire and brimstone. And because maybe they don't realize there is like other, maybe there is like, combine everything.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, that's what's happening. But like they don't realize that the whole like, you know, gem heist. Or
yeah.
That they weren't really,
you
know, a priest or whatever. Like they just think he's this piece of shit priest. And that's what happens. But then Benoit comes in and he's like uncovering so much more than these guys expected.
Yeah.
I reckon maybe I'm going to be egg on my face, but I reckon the cop is like either going to just be completely oblivious or a useful idiot in terms of like, they don't really know what's going on and they're being played by almost everyone.
Yeah. Kind of Fargo style?
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait, no, actually in Fargo, she
figures it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
that's the whole point.
So let's all, maybe before we get to the, we'll just quickly all lock in a theory each.
Okay.
And then we'll head to the emails.
Okay, sounds good.
People have emailed into the show.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm locking in, police chief did it because they've lost control of the town. Either... on behalf of the lawyer and politician combo, or in spite of them. But I think that the police chief is the one who orchestrated this. You think that...
Glenn Close, because of the... I reckon it's got to do with, like... Yeah,
her vibe.
Her vibe. Yeah. And it's all to do with maybe that dime. I mean, look, this could be red herring, as you said. But I reckon it's got to do with, like, she wants something from, like, that the Monsignor is protecting or, like, stopping her from achieving. And the new guy that's coming in will ruin it. And so she got to act quick.
Yep. And Jackson,
I reckon it's
look,
close.
I don't, this is the only thing I'm locking in because the only thing
you've
confident
grasped.
On? I've grasped. It's the only thing I've understood the whole episode.
It's like showing a dog a TV show.
What is happening? I don't think Josh Brolin's a real priest. That's the only thing I'm locking in. I don't know what it means, but I don't think he's a real priest.
What do you mean?
I think he's faking it.
Yeah.
I think
now I can understand why you think this is like this is just one part of the case.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that? He's giving sermons and works at a church.
But I don't think I think the real priest, this is a classic scenario. He killed the real priest maybe a decade ago
and took over
his identity for some nefarious purpose.
And then the reverend comes in and is like, you're a fake priest.
Yeah, the reverend comes in and he's like, oh, fuck, my ruse, for whatever reason it is, has come undone, and that's led to his murder.
Mm.
Whatever reason for, I just don't think he's a real priest. Yeah.
Now, falling into this my Glenn Close's murder because of vibes, that could work. Because maybe she's all in. she's all in on this guy.
Yeah.
And then it's like, wait a second, maybe then she finds out that fake priest. Wait a second, I'm like whole hog on this guy.
Yeah.
And he's just a liar.
He's just not even a priest the whole time.
And again, and we're talking at the very top of the episode where it was like, oh, you know, why do you kill a priest? Like, oh, well, hypocrisy, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if she's like, you know, the right-hand woman, all mm-hmm. in, believing this man can do no wrong,
yeah.
finds out this is a faker, stolen valor for priest.
Yeah. Time to kill.
Delusion. Like, yeah, you know, like completely other. Like, what is the point? I've wasted my life following this man in all his like fire and brimstone. Stab him in the back.
Yeah.
Stab him in the back.
Stab him in the back. Backstab.
Backstab. And she's like, could be like a little worm tongue.
Again,
stabbing him in the back. Who's going to stab someone in the back but your right hand?
Exactly.
Man.
That's like the main person to do it.
Yeah.
Well, those are good theories. I'm excited to watch the movie.
Yeah.
Let's jump to the emails. bsboyspod@gmail.com.
Yeah.
You can email us. Who do you think is going to be the murderer?
Leave some your theories in the comments on either the YouTube or on Spotify.
Yeah.
Or on, I guess, Apple Podcasts, 5-star review.
Yeah.
Your theory.
Yeah.
Now, it is worth noting that just like as we're recording this, this movie is kind of premiering at film festivals.
Yeah.
That hasn't happened for us yet.
Yeah,
but
we've
if you know
it.
The answer.
Yeah, don't say it.
Don't spoil it.
Don't spoil it.
This is baseless speculation, not a based reaction.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
For God's
sake. We're using our brains.
Yes, dude.
And our eyes. And the trailer that we're half.
Exactly. We're crime solving, okay?
Not crime knowing.
This first email comes from Fallon. Hello, BS boys.
Hello.
I have a question for you.
Yep.
In the most recent Mission Impossible movie, mm-hmm. President Angela Bassett has to nuke a U.S. city as a sign of peace. Still doesn't make sense to me. They conveniently never name the city, so what city are we nuking as a sacrifice? Thanks for the laughs, Fallon.
They nuke a city for peace?
They don't actually do it.
I'm sad.
Yeah.
Why are they nuking a city for peace? This is a very...
what I would do.
Look, that's so Orwellian. That's wonderful. okay.
Oh, God, I'm having to remember the final reckoning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Arguably... the worst Mission Impossible
That's
movie.
What I've heard, dude. I've heard it's a stinker.
If you're going to nuke a town for peace, it's either got to be a wretched, rotten town.
Yeah.
Or a town with, like, the population of nothing, right?
True.
Like, you know, who wants you to nuke a town?
Yeah.
You're
going to nuke some country town no one's in.
Yeah.
Gundagai.
Yeah. In Australia.
I love Gundagai. No, it's got the service station. Yeah.
The uber Christian Hungry
the
Jacks.
The Gundagai.
Dog in a Tucker Box.
Dog in the Tucker Box. Yeah, the dog on the Tucker Box outhouse, which is a room just full of dog shit.
Yeah, man.
You can't nuke that.
I would never.
I would prefer to nuke Redacted, where we were.
Yeah, nuke us. That's my answer.
It's just city of Melbourne.
Yeah.
Is there any way you could... like in the middle of America where the fallout won't be bad.
In America? I don't think so. Maybe somewhere in Alaska you could do.
Well, yeah, it was a question for are we nuking Australia or are we nuking America?
Just as what city?
What city? Oh, we can't.
Anywhere. Yeah. No rules.
No rules.
No
the
rules.
Moon.
The moon. Moon City.
Yeah, Moon City.
Probably nuke
those,
Moon City.
Yeah, the Moon City. Those moonies have been given us.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got to give them the what for.
Oh, I'm fucking sick of them, dude. They think they're so good.
All these time being like, look at us. We're up high
I'm on the moon.
Moon.
And you Earth pieces of shit.
Yeah, guess what, moonies? Now you got no
we're nuking you and the moon. Come what may. I stick with Moon City. I think that's a good choice.
I still, I've done research. I legitimately cannot remember this plot point being like, we're going to have to nuke a city for peace.
Well, there's
because
always
the
a good...
whole thing is like the entity. There's not like a, because like in Watchmen or whatever,
they're
like, hey, we've got Dr. Manhattan. Yeah. So the whole like squid attack and whatever is to show that like, oh, we're united against the enemy. So it stops World War III.
Yeah.
The Cold War doesn't get hot because of it.
Okay.
But in Mission Impossible, the entity is like, I'm just going to destroy the world.
Uh-huh.
And like, it's just like, so like getting.
Wait, what's the entity?
It's like an AI thing.
Well, I guess if you're trying to like, you know, get everyone to join forces, the rest of the world to try and help is, well, you have to then would probably bomb the, well, Washington, right?
Yeah, true, true, true.
You got to go a monument. So you got to go to the White House, or you got to go like I guess
the Statue of Abraham Lincoln,
Statue of Abraham.
Yeah. Or you got to go like Statue of Liberty.
Yeah,
like basically you got to nuke a monument,
Washington
to
Monument,
be like, see
Mount Rushmore.
Hey, America, you know, like we couldn't have done this because you know that's our guy or our like place or whatever. That's a big thing of meaning for us. So we have to mine together.
We all
got to
get together.
AI or whatever.
New strategy. Just launch missiles straight up and straight back down.
Oh,
your missile facility.
That's a good idea. Then you go, they're destroying our missile facility.
Yeah.
And then you go, really did destroy our missile facility.
Like, if you nuke your nukes, does that mean those nukes also go off?
I don't know how. No.
Maybe.
I think a nuclear weapon has to have certain stuff happen.
So if I found a nuke and I just started shooting it,
kicking it with my foot.
Yeah.
Sure. But then maybe I'm misremembering, and maybe it's this so volatile that like shaking one would set it off.
Yeah. I don't know.
They thought that one nuke might set fire to the entire atmosphere. That's pretty cool.
That's pretty
sick. And we dropped it anyway.
Yeah.
And by we, I mean they.
Yeah. It wasn't the BS boys.
No.
Okay, next email. Uh-huh. Hi, BS boys, and yet to be added guest. Interesting, Steve Head. Following your outpouring
Avatar
of love.
Avatar baby?
Yeah, Avatar
maybe.
Baby, that's our
you
guest.
You can be guest Avatar
Following
baby.
Your outpouring of love for our national hero, Bagpuss, I was wondering if you know about Magic Roundabout or Bill and Ben the Flower Pop Man.
Yes.
I feel like these are things you should know about if you don't. As a kid, I'd stay up all night with friends and watch Magic Roundabout at 5 a.m. in the morning tired.
I was thinking about this in terms of our hatred for Bagpuss and how wretched it is. And then I remembered my beautiful wife.
Yeah.
And
She is very beautiful.
She is very beautiful. However, she's also like, like the gumnut babies that we have. She's like, those are wretched, horrible things.
Snuggle pot and cuddle pie.
I know. I'm like, oh, yeah.
The Banksia men, maybe. But
yeah, exactly. Banksia, they're terrifying.
They're scary.
And like, snuggle puss, cuddle pie, adorable little things.
Yeah.
Love it. She misheard me when I first told them about that. And she was like, no, you're a big puss. And I'm like, what?
No, I did not call.
So I didn't say, what?
I did not call my wife a puss.
I did not call her a big puss. but hey, here we are.
What about another British?
So I'm wondering if it's like,
cultural sort of.
It's just like, you don't know, you didn't grow up with,
What do we think about
cuddle pie and snuggle pussy? You're like, oh, those are wretched little horrible things.
Yeah.
Because I look at them and like, adorable little gumnut babies.
What do we think?
Maybe
about...
you wouldn't be like disgusting horrible, disgusting little things. I don't know. Let us know, British listeners.
Yeah.
And American.
Yeah. What do we think about the fact that the Magic Roundabout is actually a stolen TV show?
In what way?
What do you mean?
It was they just took the animation from a French show and just redubbed it.
Well, I guess that's kind of Power Rangers too.
I was like, I guess that's just the British.
Yeah. Mm. Hey, look up Wurzel Gummidge.
No.
Okay. Look up Blonde Blinks Hunk. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. How do I spell
W-O-R?
Uh-huh.
Z-E-L G U-M-M-I-D-G-E? Or A-G-E?
The Scarecrow?
Yeah, dude.
What about him?
He's just also wretched.
okay.
He's another British wretched cultural export.
Is it just like because of like, I guess, technical limitations and like what we're slapping together on a budget of like $10.
Yeah.
It's always going to look cheap and gross and disgusting. And because we're using like old, broadcast, everything kind of looks very grainy and looks like, it's not like high def or whatever.
Yeah.
If there's just like a level of unsettledness of any children's.
Yeah.
Because like, what's that?
No.
Is it the Australian one? Is it, or it's like where it's just. It's just a doll. Kind of like Avatar, baby.
Yeah.
But blank face.
Not more than words. Fuck, I know what you mean. And the doll, they tried to make it, they were like, it's genderless and it's of no nationality, but they accidentally made, effectively...
The human being
from Green Day.
From Green Day's Community.
Yeah.
But like as a baby.
Yeah.
And it's horrible.
What the fuck's that show called?
It's awful.
After...
There is so many
And also
things.
Had a really scary skeleton character on it. Yeah.
There's like so many childhood things that I'm like, I hated that.
Mm.
And you get it's like the trap, like Trapdoor.
Trapdoor, yeah.
Count Duckula?
Oh, yeah.
Wretched.
There are episodes of Thomas the Tank Engine that stress me out
God,
as a kid.
They block someone up.
Toby's fucking trapped in a fucking rickety bridge, dude. That shit's scary.
I think it's like a staple of like that era of like, we got to make things unsettling. Except for Pengu, that guy rocks.
Yeah, Pengu.
Plasmo, he's awesome.
Plasmo's fucking sick, dude.
What's that other? What's the caveman animated?
Is it Grog?
Grog or Gogs or something?
Gogs.
I think it's Gogs.
Like G-O-O-G?
Yeah, G-O-G-S.
Yeah.
Gogs.
Yeah, I remember that one too. That was all right.
That was pretty, that was good. It had a lot of snot based comedy. Yeah, Gog.
Yeah, so the difference is,
yeah,
these have like, they're not like scary, but they're unpleasant. But they're like Ren and Stimpy unpleasant, where it's like, yeah, this is meant to be a bit gross.
Yeah.
Bagpuss is depressing. It reminds me of, and I know we've been into this a lot,
yeah,
The Blitz.
It just
reminds, they're too British. It reminds me of looking at wet concrete and being like, oh, this is England.
Wet concrete, the color brown, and like, and gray skies.
A coffee where the milk tastes like shit, but it's only milk for some reason.
I think it also
Why'd they fuck it up so bad?
I don't know.
Dude.
Italy's right there.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy. I think Bagpuss to me has the energy of like, you're like a child having a dream, but the dream's like one of those dreams that's extremely similar to reality, but like something is slightly off.
Also, Bagpuss is one of those like kids' TV shows where, and like it happens now where you engage with media where you're like, this is boring, but because as a kid you're like, TV shouldn't be boring.
Yeah.
Why am I feeling this way? And then it's like kind of unsettling.
Yeah.
Plasmo never made me bored.
Yeah.
Like neither did Gogs.
Yeah. Whereas, Bagpuss, it just feels like there's something.
Liftoff's the show with the scary baby.
I hate that one. Hate it.
It is.
Also, what do we think about Trapdoor?
Remember the bookworm?
Yeah.
Hated that thing.
What about
as well.
That show? I think it was called More Than Words, where it was like a learning show, and it was about this little girl that had a wretched toad alien.
Uh-huh.
Look at the baby from fucking.
Why would you show me that?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh. It's pretty wretched.
It was like Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider.
Yeah, where it was like, again, being a fan of comic books. When I was
Johnny Blaze or whatever.
Thinking me being like, sweet, we can get like a skull on fire on a motorbike. But it was just like a bunch of kids, and it was like an orb that was just floating around and would read books, maybe?
Oh, okay.
Anyway, like I think I didn't like that because I felt like I was,
you were getting ripped off.
You know? And I felt like, what is this?
Yeah. I think there's also just something about like, returning to kids shows kind of, they come with this like rotten nostalgia when you do it as an adult, where it like makes you remember being a sort of fragile kid in a weird way.
I think that you're being too general with Bagpuss. I think the Bagpuss just sucks.
Bagpuss is his own unique situation.
It's like, no, there's a level of like, it all sucks, and then Bagpuss is even further.
Yes,
because Bagpuss does a thing of like, oh, it's like a grandma that collects porcelain dolls. Yeah. That's the vibe.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, wow, it's so pretty and pristine. No, it's horrible. And
no, grandma's
probably
got a
racist problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bagpuss
yeah.
makes me feel like I'm dying. Anyway.
Yeah. Fuck Bagpuss.
Yeah, fuck Bagpuss, dude.
Steven, shut up.
Steven Head.
awesome name.
Yeah. Then go on to say, awesome P.S. Wells. Avatar is a money laundering scheme. Wrong. P.P.S. Screw Google AI for giving me the wrong email address. Don't know what that's about. And then finally, this is from Mitch. Hey, boys. Been listening to the various Sandspan shows for a few years now, and I had a question. But I also wanted to say how much I enjoyed this show for helping me consume media with a more critical eye, as well as D&D is for Nerds for introducing me.
You're welcome.
Anytime. Introducing me to the best hobby I've ever had, and plumbing the Death Star for making everyone around me seem so much cleverer than I. Mm-hmm. My question to you gents is, and I hope this isn't too personal a question, but do you guys cry at sad, emotionally impactful movies? And if so, what was the last movie that got you? If not, which movie has come the closest? Then they go on to say, Do Go On likes it when people who ask them questions answer those questions themselves. So I will say proudly that I am very much in touch with my emotions and definitely cry during movies all the time. The last one that got me was Stepmom, starring Julia Roberts and Susan Sarandon. I watched it with my wife, and as someone who recently became a parent, that movie is rude in just how hard it made me and my wife sob. Regards, Mitch.
Mm-hmm.
Last movie that made me cry. God damn, dude.
All right,
what have I fucking watched?
Endgame?
Yeah. Yeah,
Spider-Man became a gas.
No, that's Infinity War. Endgame, you cried because the gang was back together.
Yeah.
I know you cried at Tony Stark's funeral, where the actors thought it was a wedding.
Yeah.
To prevent spoilers.
I cried because I was sad for the actors.
Yeah.
Why would you trick them like that? They got tricked.
I'm not really a crier in movies. Yeah. They can... they've definitely gotten me close. I can't remember the last time I, like, full-on... Like, as in, like, had a tear roll down my cheek. I feel like there was like, I mean, movies like Blue Valentine,
Yeah.
Like, they just are just like, hey, you, the audience, you care about these characters. Fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm more likely to get, like, that real, like, feeling in your stomach of, like, oh, God, like a gut punch feeling. Yeah. And I cry.
Yeah, fair.
Blue
yeah.
Valentine's real sad, though. Okay. Yeah. Hey, you can fall in love and it can be special. And then without warning, that can just change for no reason. Wake up one day and be like, I no longer love my wife.
Yeah.
Nothing changed.
That's pretty bad.
Nothing changed.
That'll get you. That'll get you.
Yeah. And psychologist told me that once too. So he was like, hey, you can't control shit. You wake up and not want to see someone ever again.
Yeah, it's true,
like,
dude.
That's awesome, dude. Shout out. So I'm actually giving you listeners.
Shout out to the psych there.
Yeah. I mean, he's like, why stress about anything?
Yeah.
Exactly. We're all just rocks rolling down here.
Exactly,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah. So that's free therapy for all our listeners, too. So now you've got to sign up to Basic Speculation like, Plus.
Exactly.
I'm cheaper than a therapist. Yeah.
If we the ad-free episodes and the infrequent episode of Basic Speculation Plus wasn't going to get you.
He tells us about when he finally watches, like, you know, Shang-Chi, and he tells us his thoughts about it. It's really sweet. He's really sweet when he does that.
Yeah.
My psych is listening.
He shouldn't be doing that.
You should not be doing that. Second of all, you also now just need to subscribe.
Yeah, exactly.
Subsidize me by giving your advice.
He's lost the source.
I might need to give you a call soon, actually. Thanks.
Yeah. He's really
email me?
Yeah.
Lost in
I had a tear during the Phoenician scheme, which is weird.
Yeah.
The most recent Wes Anderson movie, which is not a particularly sad film.
No, but
there were a couple of moments that kind of got me, so.
That's fair.
Yeah. Wasn't like, again, much of a cry, but it was.
Royal Tenenbaums. Not that that was a recent thing, but I forget how big the ending of that movie is.
I mean, Wes movies will just probably get me most of the time.
Well, because they're cold and
they're cold, and then he does the classic Wes thing where he hits you with, like, the most fucked up
emotion. Or people are like, yeah. It's cold. It's like, were you paying attention?
Yeah.
No.
Or it'll be like characters like cold and stoic, and then they reveal, like, oh, I'm broken inside.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, damn, dude.
Same. Life. I
should feel my psych. more recently was, I guess, there was a couple scenes in Fantastic Four that, like, hit very, very close to home.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like, at the start, we're talking about, like, you know, pregnancy loss or working, that kind of stuff. That was like, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
That feel, you know, that was more on me, I guess, in the movie. But the one that guy, that got me was the Wild Robot.
Oh, yeah, like, I can imagine.
Like, I think we watched it just before Johnny Baby was born kind of thing. So the wife's very kind of praying the time. And so again, it's all about, like,
family,
having a kid.
Yeah.
Then watching the kid, like, you know, basically trying to raise this kid. And like, again, it just, that one got me.
Yeah. I think it's got to be the right movie, but it can happen to anybody, you know?
I'm trying to think of, like, the last time it.
Because I think, like, a movie that made me weep, really. Big Fish always makes me cry.
Yeah.
You know?
Thank you for being honest. I will not make fun of that.
Thank you very much. You're very kind.
Why? Yeah. Like, I mean, like,
gets me, it just narratively is anything where they're like, hey, we're encompassing a human being's life. Like, that's just, I don't know. That's just a thing that gets me where they go, this was this man, this was everything about him, and now he's gone. And that's kind of the ending of Big Fish. So they go, hey, man, he lived a life. Like, this was a human being.
Yeah. Like, I'm always a big sucker for, like, those, even though Big Fish is over the course of a movie, but like when they do the whole, like, your life, but it's in, like, very quick flashbacks or very quick, like, in succession. Again, like the more famous one is the opening scene of Up.
Like, see, that never got me. But
That got me. That got me hard.
Yeah, I can imagine.
That was an instigator for me being like, I gotta get a divorce.
Yeah, hot dog.
Because if my wife died, I would not care.
In a way.
Yeah.
Carl's so sad. Not me. I'd be like, oh, thank
God. I'm free.
That's classic Daniel Sloss. Am I right, everyone? Up top Jigsaw.
Saw movies?
Jigsaw.
Pup is killing people. You shouldn't be doing that, dude.
You're not happy in a relationship. Just like, hey, the reason you're in a relationship is like, well, you know what? I'm just really just, you know, waiting for the other person to die.
That's
not a good thing.
Yeah.
Leave.
Get out of there.
And just a reminder, like my psych said, if you just wake up and you feel different, that's fine.
Yeah, that's okay.
You can leave.
People can
fall out of love like that, bro.
Yeah, dude.
We are really rocks rolling down a hill.
Yeah, bro.
So don't stress about anything.
There's no rules to this life.
Try and be the best person you can be, but don't worry. If you're thinking about 50 different situations where things suck asshole, you're just processing 50 bad things where only in real life,
only one of those could happen. So you're just giving yourself 50 times more bad.
Yeah,
when
brother.
Really, if you just relax and one of those bad things happens, that's times one, not times 50.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, it's the whole thing of like, you know, God give me the strength to, you know, accept the things I cannot change and all of those kind of black.
Yeah. I should go to church. You're right, Joel Zammit.
Me too.
I mean,
dude.
Zammit's
right, dude.
Yeah, we should not convert.
Well,
God
again,
is for us.
God is good, dude.
God is good.
That's not church. That's Alcoholics Anonymous.
But that's a highly religious organization.
Yeah, in fact, that is it's also a scam.
No, it's just really religious.
Very religious.
I mean, it's a scam if you believe that...
That's all you need to do?
Well, no, arguably? It's a scam in that they go, like, one of the steps is, you know... It's
oh,
like,
I know.
Is accepting God.
Yeah.
So it's a scam from the church's perspective.
Yeah.
From, well,
yeah. However, it is like, you know, if it stops
drinking,
that helps
people.
Yeah,
great,
right?
Dude. Whatever.
I remember talking to one person. It was very much like, you know, basically was stuck on that step because it's like, I refuse to believe there is a God. But that, and that's where I am right now.
That's
so
funny,
no, thank you,
dude.
But I'm not drinking. So
that's very funny.
You know, you take,
I think maybe they changed recently where you just have to say a higher power.
Okay.
Like I remember reading somewhere, something like that.
That still doesn't work for me.
No. Yeah, yeah.
Like the highest power is me.
Yeah.
I've looked.
Your
put
issue
up,
is God.
Yeah.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that I'm at the top.
You can accept the higher power of yourself, I guess.
Yeah. Self-belief?
I guess it's self-belief. I can quit alcohol because I am stronger than the booze.
But I bet there's a step that's like accept.
That is that.
That is one of the steps, and then you just do it again.
I've already done this, but fine.
I'll do it again.
You know, a movie, like, it didn't make me cry, but the ending, and I feel like this is like a real mixed bag, because depending on the type of life you've had, or like the people you're surrounding yourself in, you could see the ending of this and be like, what the fuck just happened? Who cares? Anora. Nora's got a big ending.
Oh, I haven't seen
that. And a sad ending.
Yeah, okay.
What's the spoilers for Nora? Yeah.
So basically, the plot of the movie is she meets like a rich Russian guy who's like, we're going to get married.
Okay.
And then they do get married. And she's just like, well, this crazy fit, because she's an escort.
Yeah.
Okay.
And a dancer.
Yeah.
A sex worker.
Yeah.
And she's like, whoa, I just got this crazy Cinderella dream come true. And then halfway through the film, his family come to town and he just ditches.
Yeah. Okay.
And then they're trying to find him. And she's like, he loves me. He loves me. He loves me. And then it turns out he's just immediately like, I don't give a shit. Like, I can't leave all this money behind for you. Are you fucked?
Mm.
And in that period of time, she's made friends with like one of the people that was helping trying to track down the Russian guy.
Yeah.
And they really bonded. And at the end, she immediately just tries to have sex with him. And he's like, whoa, what are you? Like,
this
then he tries
the
to kiss her, and then she just starts sobbing.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't understand relationships.
Yeah.
Stuff, and then that's the end.
Yeah. That's rough. Yeah. Magnolia. Magnolia always makes me cry.
Do you hate the frogs?
Yeah.
You get
Stop
really sad
right.
at the frogs.
You're killing the frogs.
Oh, this summer movies
Magnolia
just have
so
like a,
good.
They just have like a really sad vibe.
Yeah.
Magnolia is one of them.
Magnolia, the scene that always gets me is when John C. Reilly, he's going on the date with, I forget the actor's name, but she's just like had all this horrible stuff about her life revealed to her, and she's confronted her parents about it, and she's like the most insecure and like, she just doesn't know how she can, but she's got this date with John C. Reilly. And John C. Reilly's just like an incompetent cop.
Where's his gun?
And he's like, they're at the date, and they're like, before we have this date, before we start our relationship, let's just reveal everything terrible about ourselves to each other. Every embarrassing, dark little secret, let's reveal them. And she's like, oh my God, let's do this. This is going to be intense, but let's do it. And then John C. Reilly, in tears, is like, I lost my gun at work. And she has so much...
Yeah.
And she just looks at him like, how can I ever... Dude, intense scene. God, what a good movie.
So good.
Also, yeah, man.
And when, they see like Tom Cruise with his dad dying, and you're like,
It's good, dude.
So good.
Entourage the movie, believes in Vinny Chase.
Obviously,
they're like, his movie, Jekyll, is going to suck shit. He won't show any of his friends. His baby boys.
Yeah.
Beautiful baby.
How's he going to do it, dude?
Beautiful baby boys.
He doesn't even show Turtle.
He doesn't show Turtle. He doesn't show E. He doesn't even show his brother, Johnny Drama. And everyone's like, you fucked this. You fucked your career. Johnny Drama's like, this was meant to be my comeback.
Yeah.
And you keep canceling the screen because you're not happy with it. And Ari's going to fucking kill you.
Dude.
But then at the end, it turns out
the
Jekyll was the best movie of all time. And Johnny Drama wins best supporting actor in the Golden Globes.
You're sobbing in the cinema.
So I'm crying.
You're
Thank
mess.
God
man.
For Johnny Drama,
Thank
I said.
Thank God, man. It's so great that, like, you know, because his Aquaman was apparently incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely a beautiful.
It was the highest grossing movie of all time.
Yeah, it was directed by Jimmy Cameron.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
Jimmy Don't
happen,
miss.
Dude.
Jimmy Don't miss. Miss.
And to hear his like career after like, you know, what was like, was it the mandolin or whatever? Mm-hmm, where it was that look. I really think there's times when studio interference is probably going to be for the best. And I reckon in that particular film, they really needed a producer to really tighten the reins on that director. I forget the director's name, but like he was off the rails.
Yeah, really. Absolutely.
Like it was like a 4-hour cut or something ridiculous.
Disgusting.
And like it really, really, really hurt like Vinny's career there.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to hear.
Yeah.
Jekyll was good,
Jekyll
dude.
Jekyll is good. It won so many awards.
I'm so pleased for the whole Entourage crew.
Sad ending to a movie that I reckon, honestly, a rewatch of this is probably the closest I got to crying recently. And this is so jock-coded, but it's fine. And if you've seen the movie, you get it. The ending of Moneyball.
Yeah.
Have either of you seen Moneyball?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
That fucking scene where, okay, you remember. So there's two things right at the end of Moneyball. Spoilers.
Remind me of Moneyball. I've seen it. I liked it. I don't remember the ending.
Yeah.
So there's two things at the ending of Moneyball.
Yep.
One, his name's Bean, which is funny because it's Mr. Bean. What's his? I need to find his first name. Yeah. So Brad Pitt, first of all, has a meeting with the New York team to leave the O's. And use his method, and he's like, "No, I'm gonna. If the Moneyball method's gonna pay off on a win with my guys, fuck your money." And then they lose.
Yeah.
And then Jonah, like, he's just like, "It was not worth it. I've thrown everything away. Fuck this."
Yeah.
And then Jonah Hill's like, "Hey, do you know about this baseball player and this play?" And Brad Pitt's like, "What? No." And he's like, "Come into the footage room. Let me show you something." And he's like, "Look at this guy. He weighs like 240 pounds or something, and he's really self-conscious about it because he's a professional athlete.
Yeah,
but he can't get his body right, and when he goes out to bat, he goes out all the time because he's so scared about running from first to from home to first
because
you've got to sprint, and he's just not fit enough.
He's not a sprinter. Yeah,
and he's like, but then with this pitch, he hits it.
Mm.
And he hits the ball, and he's like, he runs to first, and then." He's like, I'm going to do something I never do, like I've never done and have always been like way too scared to try it. And he's going to run to second.
Yeah.
So if the same thing. So he turns, starts running, and then the worst thing happens. He slips.
Yeah.
And he falls.
Yeah.
And as his face is in the dirt, he just sees everyone laughing at him.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I have all of my worst nightmares. Yeah. All my worst nightmares have come true. I've fucked this up. Fuck my life. And then Jonah Hill's like, the reason they're laughing is not because he fell, but because he cleared the home run gate by like 50 meters.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was so caught up in like trying to get to second base that he didn't even notice.
Mm.
Yeah. And then he's like, you've changed baseball, Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
And yet you're way too focused on like the little thing of like, you didn't win enough games. Mm. And then you're like, damn, that's like a big story. And then the movie ends and is like, yeah, he stayed at the O's and he was never found success.
Yeah, fuck. Dude,
and he never won that title. Yeah. And the New York team that tried to buy him just stole his method and then won the championship like 4 years
God
in a row.
God damn, dude. God damn.
I mean, history is full of like someone invents something, has a way of doing something, and then suddenly, well, you make no money off it. Someone else steals the idea.
Yeah.
They make the billions. You get shit.
Honestly, if you come up with an idea, you're probably fucked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You come up with that idea, that's great. Yeah. Oh, yeah, cool. I'm going to give you $50 for it.
Yeah.
That's called the O's, but
I will
the A's.
Ruin you. Yeah. I will ruin you and take your idea anyway.
History is basically just a bunch of Edison's stealing
inventions. Yeah, I was going to say, Edison is very famous for that. There's the person, like, I think who invented the light bulb, like the filament using the bamboo one that then Edison stole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, he died not seeing much success, and I think he was a sandwich vendor.
Like, oh, that's awesome. Maybe,
To be like, well, theory, like, changed history. Like, changed the trajectory of mankind.
I got to sell Sangers, dude.
Yeah. Got no reward, and I'm selling sandwiches out of the car.
Bango died poor and crazy, but he wasn't a good man, so maybe he deserved it. Well, you can send us an email at
bsboyspod@gmail.com. Please send us an email. Maybe you'll also spark a discussion about movies that are sad.
Yeah. And also, we're making an active effort to make sure Baseless Speculation is good. So please give us 5 stars if you agree with it.
Yeah, exactly.
The show, as of last week, no good. This week onwards,
now
really
it's good. You could call this Baseless Speculation 2 if you want to. The sequel, dude. Speculation, The Reckoning.
People are like,
man, shut up about Bagpuss and Avatar. We're like, no.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Not do that.
No.
Yeah.
We'll just be a bit more concise.
Exactly.
And just a, if you've got any feedback, let us know. Don't let us know in the reviews unless you're giving us 5 stars,
yeah, exactly.
But you can email us.
Yeah.
If you're like, damn, this is a 3-star show, but it could be a 5, don't write that.
Don't write that. Just give us 5 stars and then write that.
Yeah.
Okay? Because if you give us 5 stars, then we'll make it a 5-star show. This is a 2-way street.
Yeah. Okay. But we are fixing, this is best of speculation too, but we are, for simplicity's sake, just calling it best of speculation.
Yeah, exactly.
We fixed it.
You can also sign up to Baseless Speculation Plus, where I've said I'm going to watch Shang-Chi, but I've watched such movies as Labyrinth.
And Freakier Friday.
And Freakier Friday, or Alien 4.
Yeah.
So, hey, if you want to listen to those.
And you also get ad-free episodes.
Exactly,
of
which is pretty fucking good.
Yeah, and next time, like when we sit down.
I'll watch Avatar.
You're gonna watch
Avatar.
I mean, whatever the movie is.
I watch
Shang-Chi. Don't worry about the fact that the most recent movie I watched was Disney's Dinosaur. Don't worry about that, okay?
I feel like maybe you haven't watched Shang-Chi yet.
Wrong. Okay. I will watch it.
That's awesome. And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
And I've also been Joel.
This has been another episode of Baseless Speculation 2. And we've been the two BS boys.
Three of us.
The BS2 boys. I think for simplicity's sake, this has been another episode of Baseless Speculation. And we've been the BS boys.
Okay, fair enough. Okay. Whatever.